You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch, everyone. Welcome here on LA Talk Radio, as you always are, Fridays Pacific time, 11 in the morning, on the country's most listened to internet talk station, where we have exclusive, interesting, entertaining, provocative interviews and information to help you out with anything you may need help with. That's why I'm here with you, to help you with issues, talking about things you'd like to talk about. I always encourage you, if you'd like, to give me a call live on the air if you have questions or comments for my guests and or myself. And I want to let you know, guys, that we do not have a therapeutic relationship per se. But what I do is I usually give advice, suggestions, ideas, and, you know, just stuff like that to help you out. That's what we do here, live on the air. And I don't know if you listened last week, but you, of course, can listen to the archives. I was talking about personality disorders. I had a lot of emails from listeners who had written in and also who called live on the air asking about certain relationship patterns, certain strange behaviors that their significant others, partners, you know, whoever, were kind of showing them. So I was helping them out with that. And my big point last week was talking about the differences between people who have a severe chemical mental disorder, like, you know, schizophrenia or bipolar one with psychosis, as they say. They have voices who tell them to hurt people and they can't help themselves. They just need to get on meds, which are usually antipsychotics, to stop those voices from saying, that's the devil and you've got to protect the world from him. Right? We talked about that. And so there are differences between those folks who can't help themselves, but take medication and hopefully clear that up, and someone who is just plain evil, or as I call it, sociopathic or antisocial personality. That's a disorder, you know. Today, we're having an exclusive interview with a woman who is the author of a book called The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. Now, let me just give you a little information. This is exclusive. Our special guest cannot reveal her name, so we're calling her, and she is the author of her book, The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. We're calling her Mrs. X No More, which I think is pretty cool. I like that. Very clever. She is in an unknown location for her own safety. She is taking care of a lot of people out there, informing them of some of the signs to look for. If you're in a relationship with or know someone or someone in your family who may have these particular tendencies, the book is fantastic, interesting. It's her own story of how she survived with this psychopath. As it's described on the back of the book, it's a profound memoir by Mrs. X No More, telling of her marriage to a man who took her on a first-class one-way ticket to hell, and from which she had to make her own journey back to the person she once was. And what she discovered along the way was to change her forever. So this is a fantastic read for you. And we have her up on the line right now in her secret location. Hi there, Mrs. X. So nice to have you on the show here.
Hi, Dr. Michelle, and thank you for letting me be with you today to talk about this topic.
Hey, you know what? You really wrote a good book. The story is riveting, you know, step by step of your 22-year marriage that you hung in there with. Oh, my God. I can't imagine. But, you know, you tried to make it work. You tried to do it. So let's start out. In your dedication page of your book, you say, quote, "To all victims of psychopaths, you are not alone." What do you want readers to get out of your book?
First of all, I want them to get psychopath awareness.
Yes.
I want them to understand that experts believe up to 4% of our population could be psychopathic.
Wow.
Or sociopathic. The words are interchangeable.
Wow.
Now, these people are socialized psychopaths,
mm-hmm.
not criminal psychopaths.
So, yeah, what does that mean?
It's 4%. So that means, mm-hmm. and your listeners, please, one out of 25 people today you meet may be somewhat psychopathic or completely psychopathic.
Jeez. Yeah.
It's hard to imagine, but clinicians tell us this is true.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I married one.
Yes, you sure did. So what I want to do is sort of talk about the unfolding of your story a little bit to give listeners an idea of how you kind of went through the steps of getting to know this person, finding out who they were, what they were, and how you finally escaped in this particular situation. But first of all, how did you first meet Captain X, as we're calling him, you're calling him in your book? And what were some of the traits that attracted you to him?
Well, I was a single person in New York City and got married late in life. I met him at 39.
Wow.
I thought that my experience in New York City dating, I met a lot of fellas.
Yeah.
All different types. I thought I could catch him.
Yeah.
Notice a good one when I found him. And so I changed my life, moved to somewhat the Midwest,
mm-hmm.
met him at my apartment complex. A flight attendant gave me his phone number, and she'd just flown with him. And so I called him.
Mm-hmm.
First off, let me tell you that he was charming.
Yes.
And when I hear the word charming on anything,
right,
red flags go off now.
That's one of those scary characteristics you have to look for with the sociopath, yeah.
Every single book by victims or every single book by clinicians say, charming, charming, charming.
Yes.
Of course, at the time, I didn't know that.
Of course.
The other traits are he was attentive and funny, and I was at a vulnerable place in my life.
Sure.
They know when to get on you.
Sure.
And then he did the first step in the three steps of being a victim of a psychopath, mm-hmm. or sociopath. He love-bombed me. Now, love bombing is defined as an attempt to influence a person by lavishing them and demonstrating attention and, affection.
Mm.
I got those gorgeous gold earrings. Mm. Only, I think it must have been 3 weeks after dating him.
Mm.
The dinners were unbelievable. Mm. The gifts kept flowing.
Mm.
I mean, he charmed me so much.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I married Prince Charming.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and he was probably nice-looking as well.
Yes.
Not that all sociopaths are good-looking, but...
Yes. They come in all sizes and shapes,
yes, they
though.
Do.
And also, we have to remember that out of the 4%, 1% are female.
Yes. Yes. Usually, it's more of a male characteristic and disorder. But there is that 1%. And believe me, in clinical work, I have met some of them. They don't usually, as you know, Mrs. X... They don't come to therapy because they don't think they have a problem, but they are forced usually into going to get help because their family's going to cut them off in some way.
Exactly.
Money, usually. That's
right.
The scary one, right? So he was love-bombing you with lavish gifts, romance, affection, attention. He was basically really heavily courting you. Right.
Everyone has gone through this. They make you feel like you've just gone to heaven.
Yes,
I mean, I was floating on air. I've got this wonderful pilot who's taking me all over, who's buying me things, who comes from a wonderful family.
Yeah.
Later on, I found out they were an enabling family.
Well, there
but
you go.
Everything was perfect.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only one with this story, but I told it. And yes, he was wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So those were until, here we go. Those were some of the first signs, you know, of, you know, just that you look back at, of course. So he was charming. He was wonderful. He was giving. He was, those are the great things. And I want to warn some of you listeners out there. If someone is a little bit too good to be true, and I'm not a negative person, guys, I'm really not. Just be a little weary. Just be a little heads up. Just say, okay.
Oh my God, I cannot thank you enough for bringing that up.
Oh, good.
I was going to put that in my notes, and I didn't.
That's okay.
If somebody is too good to be true,
yeah,
slow down.
Yeah, yeah.
And take a look, step back, and go, it's too good to be true.
Yes.
And analyze it. Don't go so fast. But anyhow, thank you for bringing up.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
Too good to be true. He was too good to be true.
Yeah, kind of scary sometimes. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today, we will refer to her as Mrs. X No More, and that's how she refers to herself in her latest book. It's called The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. This is an exclusive interview. She's in hiding. She does not want to expose her identity or her location, and we are getting information for you how it was like, or what it was like, rather, living with a psychopath and things that unraveled in Mrs. X's life that really changed her life. And I guess the positive spin, Mrs. X, is that you are now here to be able to share this information to help others. How's that?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that was... I mean, the first thing when I found out that he was a psychopath really got the pieces of the puzzle together. I said, I've got to educate other women.
Yep.
I found out through reading another woman's book.
Yes.
And adding two and two and going on to Dr. Robert Hare's book, who is the leading authority on psychopaths from Canada.
Right.
And then I just read everything I can. Armed with information and education.
Yep.
I want to figure out what's happening.
Good for you, girl. So... what were some of the first signs of strange behavior? So the charming love bombing was okay. It's cool. Seemed like, wow, this is cool. What were some of the odd things that Captain X started doing that made you think, something's up maybe here?
Well, there's a list of them when I look in retrospect.
Yeah.
But number one, when we first got married, he didn't want a wedding band. Then less than two months, he comes back from a trip and he goes, I want a wedding band.
Mm.
So, okay, that happens. That's normal. I mean, that's nothing to make a big deal out of.
Sure.
But we went to get him a wedding band and it was like making a car key. I mean, there was no emotion, no love, no nothing.
Yeah.
The sign of weddings, but the sign of marital love.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean, he would go out of his way constantly to show people how wonderful our marriage was. He's very grandiose.
Yes.
He'd make promises that he would keep. Mm-hmm. But some of the very first signs.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, our sex life was fine.
Yeah.
But he never wanted that lovey-dovey closeness afterwards. I'd say, well, you know, he'd pop out of bed, and I'd say, where are you going? He goes, well, you know, I got to do the taxes, or I've got to fix the lawn, or I've got a sprinkler head, or I've got to do this. Or he always had an excuse at night. You know, when I wanted to snuggle, it was, or make love, he would say, you know, I got to get to bed, I've got an early flight in the morning, or I just flown all day. And it's like,
what?
Where's the closeness?
Right.
There was no intimacy.
Right.
And I thought, you know, you sit back and you go, what am I complaining about? I've got everything made. Maybe this is how the wife of a pilot is.
Right. Right. So he's not real warm and fuzzy and affectionate. And, you know, come on, let's be real out there, listeners. Many men, after making love, having sex or whatever, especially in the evening, they're pooped. They're spent. They fall asleep, or they're like, yeah, you know, and that's all good. Even the young ones, come on now. But or they want to keep going all night. But the point is that you don't get up and start defocusing without affection, you start to say, oh, wait a minute, what, huh? What? You know, so he kind of pushed it off as excuses of, oh, well, I got things to do. Yeah.
Where were you when I needed you, Dr. Michelle?
Oh, girl. I'm here for you. I'm here. But you're so cute. So that was a sign, is that his lovemaking was not really lovemaking. It was just, let's have sex, be done with it, and then bada boom, I'm off to something else.
Right. Yes, and unfortunately, I didn't have any psychology background, so I had to learn this the hard way. But no, he lacked friends.
Mm-hmm.
I moved from another city to another city, but I still maintained friendships with people.
Yes.
And had friends.
Yes.
But we never had friends.
Yes.
Other things. Well, eventually, it did grow into his temper and road rage and emotional and physical abuse, which I get on further in my story, which grew. But in the beginning, it was sort of like a bait and switch. We'd watch TV and he'd say, next year we're going to go to the Olympics, or in 4 years we'll plan on that. There was never another word about it. We never did the things. If I didn't initiate it,
right,
it wouldn't get done.
Right. It was those empty promises of, yeah, babe, hey.
Oh my God, you've got it. Empty promises. Empty promises.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Yep. So, you know, but he'd always have an excuse for it.
He was absolutely brilliant in excuses. Every excuse was plausible.
Right.
He always had a perfect answer.
Yes.
So as a loving, good wife, I believed every word he said.
Mm-hmm.
I know some people would say, how could she, you know, not see?
Yeah.
You have to be in my shoes and the other millions of other victims, male and female.
Yes.
It happens.
It does. It really
They're
does.
They're that good.
Mm-hmm. They are good. By the way, in case you just tuned in here to LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest is Mrs. X No More. She's concealing her identity. She has written a book called The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. She is in an undisclosed location for her own safety. I'll just give you a hint. She's in another country. That's why we're popping in and out here on the Skype. But it's working. It's sounding good. So we're talking about her life with this psychopath. And she tried very hard for 22 years to make it work. She hung in there. And this is what happens, Mrs. X, is that we want to believe their lies. We want to believe their stories. We want to give them the benefit of the doubt because they end up making us feel like we're going crazy or we're bitches, pardon the, you know, we're negs or we're being paranoid, right? They turn it back on us.
So, thank you. Yeah. Yes, you nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
He made everything my fault.
Yeah. Everything was your fault. So he was a pilot. He was flying around. He was doing his thing and all that. And you, of course, you know, being married to a pilot, you accept that. They're gone a lot. They have runs and all that. And as your marriage progressed, I know you had some physical problems. And I know you underwent spinal fusion surgery. Many other issues you had, you know, physically. You were in a lot of pain and you needed a caregiver. While your husband, Captain X, acted really distant and cold, which you were kind of used to in a way. You thought, well, that's his personality, I guess. He just. So you describe that part of your life as being surreal. Can you sort of elaborate on that part? I found that part of the book really fascinating, how bizarre your husband's behavior was towards you when you were suffering so much.
Well, in my chapter, I call it Maladies and Madness, which it was.
Yeah.
I mentioned my many surgeries. I actually had 3 surgeries in 14 months, one being the spinal fusion.
Right.
And I was on pain medications for such a long time.
Oh, yeah.
At this point, he's doling them out.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I often wonder if he was doling them out to make me docile. I really don't know.
Yeah.
But I know that I saw him looking at me with disdain as I'm using the walker along the wall to get to the powder room. And I remember saying to myself, he hates me.
Yeah.
I mean, why does he look at me this way? And then I said to myself, of course, trying to find an excuse for him, I said, well, it's the drugs that are making me feel this way.
Right.
But one day, he came home from a trip, and I just fell apart. I begged him to hold me. I mean, I was desperate. I needed to be touched.
Yes.
And I wanted him to comfort me.
Yes.
And I looked at him, and I said, please hold me.
Yes. But,
and then he answered me, and his answer shocked me. Mm-hmm. He looked really deep in my eyes, and he actually said, and this is a quote, what do you want me to do? I don't know what you want me to do. Now, after learning all I have about psychopaths and anti-personality disorders, I really know that he didn't know what to do.
Right, exactly. They really, truly don't know because there's 46 cards in the deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
He has no empathy.
Right.
Whatsoever. A normal man would have put his arms around me and even lied and said, honey, you're going to be, you know, riding a bicycle in 2 days, you know, or something.
Right.
I love you. You're going to be fine.
Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So I did at that point. I was at my one of my lowest.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Sure. And you know what kind of scares me a little bit, Mrs. X, is that you said he was doling out your medication to you?
Yes.
Right. We see these ID shows, the crime investigation shows and things, and sometimes the husbands end up sort of doling out those medications, maybe giving you a little bit more because you're a little drowsy and you're kind of not aware, and then they're giving you more. They're giving you a little, you know, because usually when you have a major surgery or three major surgeries, you'll have a narcotic to manage the pain for the nerve.
Yes.
You'll have a benzodiazepine for the relaxation, and then you'll have muscle relaxers, that kind of thing. So, you know, that can all add up to lethargy or feeling blah. But if he's doling them out, now that's scary. A psychopath doling out your medications. Oh my God, girl.
But you have to remember, I did not put the puzzle pieces together, so I didn't know he's a psychopath. To me, he was my husband, so I took what he gave me.
Of course.
So this is why I'm here, is because I want people to think back about bad situations and put the puzzle together in case they're with one.
Yes. And we don't want to scare people out there. It's just a little bit of a heads up. And
right.
Some people have certain characteristics. And it doesn't mean that they're psychopaths or sociopaths. But other people have many of the characteristics which indicate that they are that. So let's talk about some of those. And by the way, folks, if you're listening out there and you want to call in, you can do so. The number is 323-203-0815 here in Los Angeles. Or if you'd like to email me, if you don't want to get your voice on the air, you're a little shy, you can do that as well. And that email address is docmichelle@aol.com. Docmichelle with two L's at AOL.com. Okay. So let's get into some of those characteristics that you want people to sort of have a heads up about when you think that something may be not right with your partner. What are those characteristics? We'll just go through them so people can sort of, men and women, this is not just for women, because 1% of the population of women have this disorder. So what are some of those characteristics to look for?
Okay, Dr. Michelle, Dr. Robert Hare, who is the leading authority on psychopathy, developed the psychopathy, I should say.
Yes.
Checklist revised, the PCLR.
Right.
He wrote this diagnostic tool with 20 traits to determine a person's, you know, antisocial personality disorder. And I paraphrase them in my book. And I do hope the listeners do pay attention to these, because if they're involved with someone with many of these traits, they may be involved with somebody who's a psychopath. So stop me anytime, but I've sort of numbered them.
Good.
Number one, lies constantly.
Okay.
Number two, lives off others' money or success. Number three, is overtly charming and smooth. Number four, is extremely grandiose and thinks highly of themselves. Number 5 is constantly in need of stimulation. Mine said he was bored all the time.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Number 6 is extremely sly and manipulative.
Yes.
Number 7 shows no remorse. By the way, mine didn't even go to his uncle's funeral, yet wanted a piece of the jewelry.
Of course. Or was upset because he didn't probably get financial inheritance.
You got it.
God.
That was 7. Okay. 8. Responds with fake or no emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The crocodile tears. I have to tell you that I've been on so many psychopath, sociopath websites, and they all say that they cry crocodile tears. So
right.
When you get in a fight and they go, oh, please don't leave me, and it seems fake,
right?
It might be.
Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Got to look for those. You got to look at that
yes.
person's face and look in those eyes. Are there real tears coming down?
Right.
Yeah.
Number 9, lacks empathy or mirrors it.
Mm-hmm.
Number 10, seldom controls his or her behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Number 11, is sexually promiscuous. And this is where I must say that my readers will of my book will find out that my ex, unfortunately, to my shock,
mm-hmm.
with prostitutes and other people, our entire marriage, and I hadn't a clue.
Yes. Wow.
And that I can only say is you have to be in my shoes, and I went in and out of normalcy when he was flying away.
Right.
So it was crazy.
Right. Right. Exactly.
Okay.
You're sort
so
of saying, wait a minute. So we were, and there is a skillful thing about, hiding the extramarital affairs and encounters with prostitutes. I mean, they just roll, that just rolls. They are so good at covering that up.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Number 12, lacks positive goals.
Hmm.
13, is impulsive.
Mm-hmm.
14, is irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
15, does not accept responsibility for personal problems.
Ah, yeah, that's a biggie, huh?
It's a biggie. 18, was a juvenile delinquent.
Conduct disorder, usually, huh?
Right.
Yep.
19, has criminal involvement.
Okay.
And 20, is repeats criminal behavior after release. Now, 17, 18, 19, and 20, in my case,
yeah,
didn't affect me. I do not know. That's another odd thing. I couldn't
yeah.
get anything out of him about his childhood.
Right. Right.
Strange.
Well, you know, it's interesting because, I mean, there's a lot, there is damage there. And you know, Mrs. X, by the way, that we haven't defined, you know, Dr. Robert Harris talks about it. We haven't really defined whether it's a chemical sort of inheritance. But yeah, because we see it as traits in certain family members. You know, grandpa was always running around. Or, you know, you hear these things, right?
Yeah, or, well, actually, yeah. In my book, I do say that Hare has mentioned that he still is working on, is it nature or nurture or
yes.
both?
Yes.
And now we've got two the scientists
yes.
that are working on doing scans, and of course they think it's the amygdala and the wiring system of the frontal cortex, and I'm not a scientist
yeah.
whatsoever, so forgive me of my phrasing, but
yeah.
they're getting closer to figuring
yes.
out what it is, nature versus nurture,
yes.
and is it both?
Yes, exactly. And
yeah.
like you said, Mrs. X, a little earlier, that his parents seem to be, or, you know, the people around him seem to be enablers, and there is, you know, a certain truth to that. There's because they have that sense of entitlement that they can break laws, they can get away with anything, and sometimes that does happen in childhood. You know, they let them get away with things, and if he had conduct disorder, which is one of the typical diagnostic tools we use to figure out who's going to be a psychopath when they get older. Wow, there you go, huh?
Yes,
that's it. And, you know, we just kind of look at what their child was like. Also, there's another component, too, which can happen sometimes, and I know you know this, which is severe abuse. If there was severe, that sometimes, it sometimes turns individuals into that other spectrum of the borderline personality disorder, if there's severe verbal or physical abuse. But the sociopathic personality can also come out when there has been that background as well.
And also when they are not nurtured is another time. Yeah. I you know, left with the nanny and not with the parents.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, in his case I think that was it. He was left with the nanny too much.
Yeah.
And I didn't come from that world.
Yes, exactly. No.
I came from the other world.
Well, you know, I mean, and I've heard a lot of, you know, patients tell me, you know, who are wealthy or had grown up with a good deal of wealth and privilege, saying, I feel alone in this world because I was raised by a woman who was paid to raise me. And my mother and father were always gone and doing the town or whatever they did and, you know, going off and whatever. By the way, in case you just tuned in here on LA Talk Radio, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. My special guest today is Mrs. X No More. That's how she is describing herself, calling herself. This is an exclusive interview because Mrs. X is in hiding in another country right now. She's written the book, The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. And it's all about her journey, being married to a psychopath for 22 years. And I know, you know, some listeners are saying, how could you do this, girl? But you're a good person, and you wanted to hang in there, and you wanted to make this marriage work, and you thought, well, he's gone a lot. His job keeps him away a lot, and I'm just going to be the wife and do the best I can do, right?
But, we have to give them a copy of my book.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's just really quickly, and I want to ask you a couple of more questions here. How can people get your book?
Actually, my book is available, of course, on Amazon, and they can go to my website to find out more, which is www.psychopathsurvivor.com.
Great, great, great.
And I'm available at Amazon and Barnes & Noble and Smashwords and Apple and Nook and iPad and Sony and leading bookstores.
Yeah, exactly.
So go to my website, and you can find the information there.
Okay. Cool. Now, we were talking about the fact that your husband, what we called, you know, he had secret lives with other women. He had girlfriends, he had prostitutes and all that. You were thinking at one point that he was a sex addict because, I mean, that would be normal. I mean, we hear this all the time now. So that goes along, however, with the psychopathic personality, is they have dual, triple lives. What would you suggest that women do who may suspect that their husband has the problem of being a sex addict?
I definitely suggest that they join COSA, which is Codependent of Sexual Addicts, and I believe they can find a local branch on the internet. Mm-hmm. I did go to a COSA and COSA meeting. I did think he was a sexual addict, but then still too much was missing from the puzzle. And yes, psychopaths, one of the 20 traits is that they are highly promiscuous.
Yes.
That is not to say that people who are sex addicts are psychopaths.
Yeah.
Or psychopaths are all sex addicts. But most psychopaths / sociopaths have a high sexual promiscuity lifestyle.
Right. Yes, they do. And, you know, earlier we were also talking about how they can turn things around and make you feel like you're crazy when you say, wait a minute, whoa. You start seeing little evidence of things, right, Mrs. X?
Right.
Can you share some of the things he did that sort of made you feel like you were going crazy? That maybe, you know, things that people might be able to learn and say, huh, you know what? I felt like that, and maybe I need to explore this a little further.
Well, most psychopaths blame their partner.
Right.
And immediately start in the, there are three stages, the idealization, the devalue, and the discard. Mm-hmm. Get rid of her. Get rid of him. Mm. And in the devaluation, they start saying things like, you know, we've got problems here, and I don't see why you fight so much, and you know what? You've got a problem. Mm. And then they start saying that, you know what? You need to, and they put you into therapy with right. a good therapist.
Yes.
And no one knows what the problem is.
Right.
So the therapist can't correct it, right. and the patient can't correct it, because a psychopath pushed them there. So one of the things that they do to make you feel crazy is they push you into therapy, mm-hmm. which, you know, isn't bad, and maybe, but it's difficult for a therapist, I'm sure, to try and diagnose this. And they also call you names like bipolar, even though you're never bipolar.
Right.
They make you feel crazy.
Yeah, they do. They do. And it's very hard to, you know, I mean, and sometimes I think a lot of therapists are getting clues, more clues, because they start hearing about, you know, we have a heads up about little things that blaming someone constantly, it's not always the other person's fault. it's not your fault, Mrs. Jacks, all the time.
Thank you. There are two sides in every story, and in this case, there definitely were.
Yeah.
One more point I wanted to make is that one scary thing, mm-hmm. now that I look at it, is you asked some of the to share some of the things that make me feel like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
After any argument, Captain X used to put his hands on my shoulders and look deep into my eyes, and I know you've got this background with, eyes and body language.
Sure.
He would look deep in with his penetrating eyes and look into my eyes and say very firmly with his hands on my shoulders, divorce is not an option.
Scary.
And I took this, Miss Naive here, took this to mean we would never divorce. He still loves me.
Yes.
I didn't have the faintest idea he was hypnotizing me into submission.
Right. Right. That's all about control, too. Their whole thing is controlling other people and their lives.
Here's another, I must get this in.
Yeah.
When I tried to be self-sufficient, and I had a great idea for a business, and I was so happy and so excited, and I came to him, and I discussed this with him, and I said to him, what do you think about that?
Yes.
And he shut me down in a second, saying, you don't know how to do that. You couldn't possibly do that.
Right.
By then, I was so worn down.
Yes.
I'm lucky I'm here.
Yeah.
My self-esteem was gone.
Yes. And when you say you're lucky you're here, you know, there is a propensity. And this is the scary thing I was talking about, Mrs. X, is him doling out your medications. There is no conscience in this disorder. So many of the guys who are convicted and now in prison, or scary, out there still, have no feelings about hurting and or eliminating certain people in their lives because they get in the way of their focus and function. Did you ever feel when you really got keen to what was going on that your life was in danger?
Yes.
Okay. Now.
It's a simple thing. Well, actually, the drugs, but another time was when he was following me. And if people think that stalking is not following, I was petrified.
Yes.
When I added this all together. When he left the house after I found out about his entire marriage of prostitutes.
Yes.
I was petrified because who is this person?
Right.
It was so scary and no one understood.
Right. It is very scary. Well said. You just don't know. It's like there's two personalities, only they don't have that multiple personality disorder. They just have no conscience. No idea. And again, I always like to put it, there's like 46 cards, maybe 40 in the deck.
Right.
Because they're so socially clueless about emotion. They have no emotion. We got an email she doesn't want to get her voice on the air, but it's perfect because I was going to ask you this question, so it's just sort of perfect. This is from, she says, Mrs. J, and she said, how can you give me an idea to heal and recuperate from a very destructive marriage that I had with a psychopath? So I guess I'm going to ask you my question that I had lined up here, Mrs. X, is how did you heal from this?
Well, the first thing I did was read everything I could about the disorder. Mm-hmm. When you're armed with education, that's absolutely the most important thing. Then, when I had this information, the first thing you have to do on the recovery is remember it's not your fault. Right. You didn't do this.
Right.
You are not at fault.
Yes.
I mean, this can happen to anyone. It even happened to Dr. Robert Hare, the leading authority
yes.
in the world on psychopathy.
Yes.
He was fooled by a psychopath.
Wow.
So number two is definitely to forgive yourself that it's not your fault.
Yes.
And number three, most long-term victims of, you know, being with a psychopath, well, any victim, find other resources. And I have a list of resources there,
yeah.
websites,
mm-hmm.
Blogs, and to find out you're not alone because mm-hmm. you need to be with other people who understand this disorder
yes.
and that you're not the only victim in the world.
Yes.
You've got to be with other people.
Yes.
I remember when I first went to met another person who was a victim, and we stared at each other, didn't say a word, and then hugged each other for 2 minutes and cried.
Mm, of course. Wow.
I didn't feel alone.
Yes.
So this caller, thank you for writing in.
Oh, yeah.
And I wish you the best in healing. And
yeah.
I say that, again, on top of those statements, I'd like to say, be alone by yourself and find self again.
Yes.
And really think of yourself and find the beauty of being alone. You don't need that person. And the healing will begin as you do something good for yourself and others.
Yes, that's lovely. And know, you know, again, like you said, Mrs. X, you read everything you can. You get as much information about, you know, these characteristics. And that when you sort of say, my God, I could be married to or going with, you know, a psychopath, and know that it's not your fault, just to review, you have to go within and say, wow, I've been brain. It's almost like you're in a brainwash situation, like you're with a captor, you know.
Well, cult leaders are
yes.
psychopathic.
Yes, they are.
There are religious leaders, mm-hmm. unfortunately to say. There are sports figures. Detective Lane, I believe, your Detective Lane in L.A. just said that O.J. was a sociopath.
Oh, yes.
I'm not saying that he's clinically able to say that, but there are psychopaths, sociopaths, in
yes.
every walk of life.
Yes.
He could be your gardener, your mother-in-law, your school teacher, your football coach, anyone. So forgive yourself if you bump into these people. It's not your fault.
Yes, it's not your fault. And, you know, they get us, they push our buttons, so we do get crazy, we do get angry, we do get, we're not sedated.
And when you first meet them,
yeah.
they push your buttons so much on the love bombing that all those drugs go into your head,
yeah.
and you're madly in love with them, the
right.
serotonin and all the love drugs, they
yeah.
make you fall in love with them. Very
yes.
fast.
Oh, boy.
It's scary.
Yeah, it is. It is scary.
So slow down,
yes.
ladies and gentlemen.
Yes. Slow down. Slow down. You know, I had a question, real quick question for you here, too, because it's fascinating to me. I loved your story. And by the way, if you want to listen to this interview again, folks, if you didn't have a chance to tune in at the beginning, it's fascinating. You can go on to the archives here on my webpage here on LA Talk Radio and listen to the show. It will be available tomorrow. And information about how you can get a hold of Mrs. X No More's book, The Secret Life of Captain X, My Life with a Psychopath Pilot. I wanted to ask you real quickly, after all of this turmoil, after all of this stuff you went through, have you had difficulty trusting men?
Oddly enough, no. I did meet a psychopath when I moved on to outside of the country, and I recognized the signs immediately and
yeah.
got out of the relationship, which means I'm healing.
Yeah.
Do I have a trouble trusting men? No, this isn't a men, male or female situation.
Mm-hmm.
This is just a medical, psychological problem, and I don't have difficulty trusting men. Right. I'm armed with the knowledge that some people are psychopaths, and the 4% I avoid.
That's right.
I learned how to take it slow.
Yeah.
And I encourage any, you know, I did encounter one, but boy, I got out of it fast. Mm-hmm. Yes, you would think I am frightened of dating, and of course, busy writing, you don't have a chance to date.
Yeah.
But I'm not the only person who's been through this, and I'm not afraid of men. I think men are nice, and I think women are nice, and there are a good 96% of our population are wonderful people.
Well, I love that. I love that positive spin that you have. I really appreciate it. And again, I thank you so much for this exclusive interview. This is fascinating. It's a great read, your book. I love the way you unfold your story and how you survived and how you also help women and men who have been married to or in a relationship with a psychopath, how to identify some of the signs, how to realize that you're not going crazy, how to try and heal yourself and move on with your life. And you've come off and out of this pretty well. I'm really happy for you. Good for
you,
girl.
Thank you so much.
And thank you again for sharing this most helpful book with people.
Thank you. You have a good day.
You too. I know you're in an undisclosed location, and take good care of yourself and keep safe, my dear. And thank you so much for this exclusive interview, Mrs. X.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Again, what we're going to do is we're going to have the information up on the website here for, you know, finding out how to get this book. And so you can download and also replay the show if you like here on LA Talk Radio. Just go onto my webpage, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. It's not narcissistic. No, no, no. We have to survive. Put the oxygen mask on first and then assist your loved ones. And then you'll be good for them. You'll be good for others. All right, guys. Thanks so much for tuning in today. And of course, we'll be back next week. I've got a relationship expert coming on. We're going to talk about making those relationships a lot better and why you've had problems in the past moving on. Hopefully not sociopaths or psychopaths. Have a good day. Thanks for listening now. Bye-bye.